Good evening. I'm Henry Banks, senior producer and host of People of Color on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up in a few minutes, honoring a legend. UWS alumnus Carl Crawford, UWS professor Lynn Gert, and St. Louis County, Minnesota retired professional Dick Dolezal. Join me in honoring the life of African heritage elder Perry E. Kennedy. Perry Kennedy was a U.S. Air Force veteran who died recently at the age of 89. They will share many stories of this tremendous legend and leader from the Twin Ports. All of this coming up next on People of Color with Henry Banks after this news.
Oh, the rest. see.
You're listening to People of Color on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We'll be right back. Good evening and welcome to People of Color on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Henry Banks. Thanks for joining us for an important conversation, a hard conversation. We lost a giant of a man in the Twin Ports by the name of Elder Perry E. Kennedy. He died recently at the age of 89, and so I've asked some very close friends of his, folks who served on the Clayton Jackson McGee Memorial Board with Mr. Kennedy. I've asked them to come in and share some stories about Perry Kennedy and what he meant to them. He, again, was a giant of a man. And I have with us tonight Dick Dolezal, Professor Lynn Gert, and Carl Crawford. Thank you all for taking the time to be here. And I know this is going to be a difficult conversation, but I just needed to do this for our listeners so they know who Perry Kennedy was in our community. And, you know, he was a veteran of the Air Force and served our country. Again, he served on the Clayton Jackson McGee Memorial Board, excellent leadership there, and also on the African American Men's Group in Duluth. And so, Carl, I'm going to start with you, and then Lynn and Richard Dolezal, please just chime in and anytime you want. So, Carl, won't you kick it off here?
Well, thank you for having me on the show this evening, and it's right to give tribute to Mr. Kennedy. What an amazing man, and I think his legend will live on forever. And one of the things that I first met Mr. Kennedy as part of the African American Men's Group. And even there, when I first entered the room, I was greeted with an amazing smile and that deep baritone voice of, "Hey, young man, how are you?" And that began an amazing relationship. And I just think that taking time to pause and reflect on the life and the legacy that he leaves behind is very important. And thank you for doing that.
Sure. Thank you. Lynn, as we're starting this conversation, you connected with Mr. Kennedy as well. And why don't you talk about some of the stories that you experienced, if you will, with Mr. Kennedy?
Yeah, and the thing about Elder Perry is he repeated the stories. So if I didn't remember it the first time, I would remember it the second or the third time, which was definitely the case. So one of the stories that has replayed in my mind was he was telling me about what it was like when he literally was dropped off after serving overseas in the Air Force. And I'm pretty sure he was in Washington, D.C., and he gets out of the van, goes down the street to get a cup of coffee, if you all remember this story.
Yes.
And he goes in to sit down and get a cup of coffee to kind of just regroup to figure out what do I do next, like literally. And he was told that he needed to get the cup and exit because he was not able to sit in that establishment to drink his cup of coffee. And literally that was how he re-entered the country that he just fought for in the North Pacific, and pick up the pieces from that point, and then where do you go from there? So that is a story. If I got that one, I got that one right, but that I think about that a lot.
Did he talk ever about how that impacted him?
I'll only go back a little further. He talked about how segregated the force was, and that they did not get the same food or the same even barrack situation as the white soldiers did. And he felt it always as a terrible injustice, which it was, to him and other men of color who were serving, that they wouldn't get the same food. They didn't get the same quality food, I should say. So back there, and then to come when he was in training, And walking down, do you remember the one about being asked, told to get off the sidewalk?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So that the white people could pass. So he had all of the, he had those experiences. And he another one he had was when, after he left the military and was working here in Duluth for, I don't know if it was not Road and Bridges or what we were.
MnDOT.
Mm-hmm. MnDOT.
Yes.
That as he was being promoted, that caused problems for the white men who went to his supervisor to say they wouldn't take orders from that man.
Yes.
So he had, he had a life full of that. The first time he said to me, DWB. I got a DWB, he says. I said, what's this? It's driving while black.
Yes. You know,
getting stopped and being said, well, officer, what are you stopping me for? He says, we're looking for a man and who is a man of color, and so we're stopping. Anyway, that whole ridiculousness that I as a white man, I was just amazed to hear that story.
Right. Sure he's probably had walking while black also, because that's another component of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure, Mr. Kennedy, I know I've experienced it.
You
know, I'm sure, Carl, you've experienced it just because,
yes.
You know, and unfortunately, that's how our society continues to be.
Yeah.
You know, continues to be.
Yeah.
And so for this giant of a man to have endured all of that and still was successful in the community that he lived in, and still had kindness to everyone, shared love that was very deep, mm-hmm. with everyone he met and came in contact with, even after enduring all of that stuff, mm-hmm. he still was able to love.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, all people. Yeah. That's very powerful, because not everybody can do that. Not everybody can do that. I want you all to take some time, though, right now to, Carl, you more specifically about the African-American Men's Group, if you can kind of talk to us about Perry, and he was one of the co-founders of this organization, and can you talk about your relationship with him on the African-American Men's Group? At one time, it was called African American Men's Club.
Yes.
Can you talk some more about that and just how he was while he was a member of that organization?
Well, you know, Mr. Kennedy, as you mentioned, could spin some yarn. He could tell a story or two. Some of those we probably can't tell on air. But,
okay.
but just an amazing man. And you know what? You got to understand, to live 89 years in America as an African American man, you have some stories. And I think, you know, as we were sharing some of his earlier stories, one that stands out for me was also when he got home from the service and he went to go apply for jobs and was told that you could only get a job pumping gas. And he actually had the challenge to get on with MnDOT. At that time, it wasn't a very open arms type of a situation. And as you mentioned and touched upon, Henry, some of the things that we are still dealing with today. But one thing that I can say, when you knew Perry, you had a friend.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he made sure of that. When I would come into a space, he would make sure to come over and make sure that we acknowledged each other, that we took the time to shake hands. He wasn't about this wave high and keep walking. He was going to grab you for a minute, and he was going to talk to you. And I think if there's one thing that's important to my life as a legacy, is to hold people, just to hold them.
Yes.
Don't let them slip away.
Mm-hmm.
Make that connection. And we get so stuck in our busy days in our life that we don't have time. Think about today. How often do we just wave hello and not stop and really see how we're doing and check in? And Mr. Kennedy would make sure that you looked in his eyes and he had something kind to say.
Yeah. And the fact of the matter was, he was genuine.
Yes.
In all of it. It was all genuine. It wasn't something that was, you know, wasn't fake. It wasn't something that he had to do.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to be there to greet you, to bring you in, basically, you know, to see how you're doing.
Yes.
To talk to you. So the Clayton Jackson McGee Memorial is the one that I know the most with regard to Mr. Kennedy. I'm sure there were some situations and some meetings that you've attended in the past with Mr. Kennedy. Lynn, would you like to share anything about the Clayton Jackson McGee organization and Mr. Kennedy?
You know, a few different thoughts. I remember one of the legacies that he left with me is to temper my emotional response to things, which was a good lesson for me. And early on, he and I were sitting in the Holiday Center at a table selling tickets for a Clayton Jackson McGee event. And if I remember right, he was like in his 30s. He came by and he said something very derogatory and racist to Perry and I, and I was livid. And Perry was like, I'm sure he patted me on the shoulder, and he was like, Lynn, I've been fighting this for a very long time. Remain hopeful, but don't let that man discourage the work, but don't ignore it. But just, we gotta keep on keeping on.
Yes.
And, you know, just basically put it in check and don't put my energy all towards reacting to somebody that just did something hateful. Just keep on the path that I was on. So that was a really good, really good lesson.
And that was his resilience too, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if he could keep one foot in front of the other, keep on this path of hopefulness and, you know, he didn't shy away from the truth, but he didn't let, you know, he didn't let energy like that derail him, which was really good for me to hear, because I could easily just go chasing after some negativity that would take my energy away from something positive and constructive. Sure.
You're listening to People of Color on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We'll be right back. Here with Lynn Gert, Dick Dolezal, and Carl Crawford, all former members of the Clayton Jackson McGee Memorial Board. That was an important project in the community, and Elder Perry Kennedy was a big part of that process in the community. And, you know, I don't want to negate any of that because we were in a meeting. I don't know if you all remember this or if you were in this particular meeting at the board. So we were trying to figure out what our tagline was going to be for the project. You remember that?
I keep going.
Probably. So we were throwing out all kinds of things and all kinds of taglines, and he came up with the tagline that's currently in use today, Bring the Truth to Light.
That's right.
That was Mr. Kennedy's major part of this particular memorial. And it resonates to this day. Mm-hmm. It was because he said, this is what it needs to be.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do you remember that?
Yes,
I do.
That's his whole mantra.
Yes.
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 Just bring the truth to light. Keep talking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was. It was. You know, the first time I met Perry, so we had this vigil at the corner where the men were lynched at. And we had signed up to say, something needs to happen here. You know, we didn't set out to have a memorial. We wanted a plaque on the building, if I recall. And so a meeting was called, and we I walked in, and as you probably know, I'm a little bit shy. And so I didn't know almost anybody there.
Yeah.
And standing over to his side was Perry and Sammy McCurley.
Mm-hmm.
And they looked friendly.
Yes.
And I thought, I'm going to go over by those guys. And that started a wonderful friendship with both men for me. And they were that very open and welcome. And what did you say? How are you, young man?
Yes.
Kind of thing. Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
That sounds just like Mr. Kennedy.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
When you mentioned, when you said that, I was like, that sounds just like him.
Yes.
You know, it's like he's right here when you said that, you know. And so you mentioned Perry Kennedy and Sammy McCurley.
Yes.
Two giants.
They're such a great pair.
Absolutely a great pair. And they were a part of this memorial project.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and you know, you mentioned Sammy McCurley, but we also have Maureen Booth.
Absolutely.
And the real challenge for the next generation, Henry, is we're losing our legends.
Yes.
With every turn of the page, and they left behind a footprint for us. They left behind a map. So the next challenge is for us the next generation to follow that map and reach back and create another way for our younger folks to follow and create this change. You know, Mr. Kennedy, just because he took a stance, that was not because he didn't love somebody. That was because he did love somebody.
That's right. That's right.
And he wanted it to change, not just for him, but for you and I.
Mm-hmm. That's
right. And courage sometimes look like that.
That's right.
It doesn't come up wrapped in a nice box. Sometimes it has to be intense, and it has to take a stance.
Yes.
And do that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Those three legends.
Yes.
Those three legends. They were all on the Clayton Jackson McGee Memorial Board. Mm-hmm. All three of them chose to be involved because they, in my opinion, knew the importance of this memorial in our community, but not only in our community, in our entire world. Mm-hmm. This was and is the first memorial of its type in the entire country.
Yes.
And they were leaders, all three of them, in this process. That's powerful. And I'm so grateful they were a part of it. They'll never be forgotten. That's, you know, for me, I can never forget those three legends in the African Heritage community because of what they've done.
Can I add one more person to that list?
Sure.
Because I pulled up that community forum on racism that we did.
Yes.
And I wanted to show the clip at the end of Perry to a class last week.
Yes.
And I wanted to end my semester with Perry's voice as the concluding, literally the last 3 minutes of the whole year. Mm-hmm. And the beginning of that video, though, Tony Ledoux.
Yes.
Who was on the committee. So the whole beginning of that video is almost everybody, the first people that spoke in that forum are no longer with us. But I was Tony Ledoux was one of them, and he was another elder on that.
Our Native Heritage elder.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. He was involved with the board.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I miss them all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm so glad we're doing this because I don't know if we'll ever have anybody in my lifetime like these individuals. The dedication and the commitment that they had to this project. They saw the validity of it. They saw the necessity of it. Mm-hmm. And they stuck through the whole entire process. Some people will walk away. This is a hard subject to even talk about, even to this day. And they stayed with the project.
Yeah. You know, I think partly going back to our beginnings there for Clayton Jackson McGee, I think we were a committee.
Yes, we were.
And we struggled. I don't think you and Catherine were co-chairs right away. Maybe I just lost track of that. But Perry would come to those meetings faithfully and try to keep us on a course.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was one of the ones who pushed that. He was so frustrated with, people would come to one meeting and then not be there for a couple of meetings.
Yes,
and then
they
come and
it's
like, well, hey, we need to go this way or we need to go this other way. It was a very frustrating thing. But Barry hung in there. And I don't know for sure if it was him. He was supportive of, you need to be here for three meetings in a row to vote.
We did decide to make that. Yes, you're right. And I think it was probably his leadership in making that happen. That's very true.
Because it was so frustrating, and Perry didn't like that.
Yeah. Well, I was speaking with Elder Matt Carter about a week or so ago, and he was sitting right next to me at a dinner event that was held in downtown Duluth. And he said to me, I need you to know that Perry Kennedy talked about you all the time.
Yeah.
He really cared about you and all the work that you were doing. And that touched my heart because, you know, you don't know, you know, who's talking about you and whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. But he said, you need to know that Mr. Kennedy really liked you and respected you a lot. And so that touched my heart. I just wanted to say that. So,
You know, he also joined the... So as things came up, and now we're going to have this memorial, so there was a request for proposals that went out fairly around the nation for artists to turn in something. And Perry and I were on that. There were probably six of us, I think, who said, yeah, we'll work on that.
Yeah, I think I was with you as well.
And like, none of us really knew anything about
right.
memorials.
Right, right. Yeah. That's true.
Thank
That's
heavens true. The folks at Duluth arts, whatever they
public
were
public arts commission.
Yes, they were so open to working with us and teaching us stuff. But again, you know, in choosing our current one, because there was quite a variety of,
yes,
proposals that came in. Perry liked, he didn't want anything too gory, and there were lynching scenes that were proposed.
That's right. That's right.
So he liked that combination of the written word was going to be on the walls, mm-hmm. and then the statues of the three men.
Yes.
So he helped lead us in that direction.
Yeah, he did. And there was a lot of dignity in that whole entire process. The way the sculptor and editor that were selected for the project, nothing but dignity throughout that entire selection. I think that was the correct selection in Carla Stetson and Anthony Payton Porter. I'm just being real. That was probably the best selection, obviously.
Yes.
You know. So, Carl, you look like you have something to say.
Well,
so.
the challenge is with all of this is, you know, to understand the everyday life of Mr. Kennedy and our elders before us, and understand that there were different times he was met with other challenges too. Some that he shared more, you know, quaintly with the men's group, and we often talked about just what does it mean to be a man of color in America. And some of that was looking at the past history. Some of it was things that happened that day, walking into those doors. And to have a place where we could meet as people of color, I can't put a price tag on it. It's priceless.
It's priceless, yes.
To have a place where you don't have to explain who you are, why you're there, and what you're doing there.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Kind of a place to call home.
Yeah.
And when I was with Mr. Kennedy and Matt Carter and some of the other groups, that's what it felt like. It was that eldership that I left behind in Los Angeles, California when I came here.
Yeah.
It was the barbershop.
Absolutely.
Right?
Right.
That we don't have, where we talked about politics and family and just how do we keep putting one foot in front of the other and keep it moving.
Mm-hmm. It was the weekly cookouts.
Oh, yes.
Especially in the summer. Every weekend, you know, we were cooking out,
yes,
right?
Yes, we were.
And the connection, you know, and the families and all of that, that's what we don't have.
Yes.
We don't have that on a regular basis here. And so those are the kind of things I know Mr. Kennedy would, he would relish in that. He would relish in that.
That's why our work continues. We need to have a place like that where we create those opportunities in our community for people of color to go and just be who they are and exchange ideas and have a place to, you know, look at memorials and history and learn from each other and pay it forward.
So, Carl, I know you, Mr. Kennedy, and I came to the WPR studios and did a reading.
Yes.
Remember that?
I'll never forget it.
Can you talk about that?
We had an amazing opportunity at the grand opening dinner of the lynching where we went in the studio and we recreated, it was written out for us as us being the three men from the memorial. And talking about our experiences in our life during that horrible night. And I recall it because I didn't tell my family that we had did that recording. And we were at the deck, and when it played, my son immediately dropped his fork and looked at me. He said, "That's you!" You know, because we had our voices. And we shed a tear when we were done reading that at that place because it was just so hard and emotional to put ourselves in that place. But that was a magical recording, and it meant so much.
It was. Mm-hmm.
I remember hearing it. It was like so impactful.
Yes.
It was like the room was silent, just listening. It was very personal and emotional and historic and current. And to know the three of you whose voice we were hearing just made it personal and painful and I think all the things it should have been.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I have the script here.
Excellent.
And so I'll make sure you get a copy if you want
of
that script. And we're looking for the actual recording. And so once we uncover where that is, we'll make sure you get that too if you want it.
That would be great.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Anything else you want to share about this legend? in our community.
How can you not talk about Mr. Kennedy and not mention his Cadillac?
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for saying that. Yep, I was hoping somebody would mention that, Carl. Thank you. Why don't you go ahead and share that?
Well, I just know he loved
which
that.
Which one, right?
He loved that Cadillac, and yeah. it was a ride that, you know, was meant for a king, in which ever since the world he was. And it's an opportunity. I know in my community, one of the things you couldn't wait to do when you retire was get a Cadillac.
That's right.
And that was a badge of honor. And he drove it well.
Oh, yeah. Had the resources to do it and
that's
get it.
Right.
And so why not share those resources with yourself once
yes.
in a while? Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with that.
That's right.
Nothing wrong
yes.
with that.
Yeah, yeah. You know, he, with his health issues, mm-hmm. Even way back there in, you know, 2000 up to 2003, you know, he worked on fundraising with me. And so he would come to, we used to meet over at the old Buena Vista,
sure.
which is
Absolutely.
Gone.
Yeah.
But we'd have lunch there and talk. People would, you know, Gil Schoenfelder, and people would come and,
yeah.
and here's what we're doing and stuff like that. And Perry would come, but he wouldn't eat. He just had a lot of diet restrictions and mm-hmm. worried about, I think, diabetes.
Okay.
And so he showed up with a cup of coffee and he would hang in there the whole meeting and participate. He would drive his car around. if you recall, we had this, one of our slogans was, change for a change.
Yes.
In
yes.
these jars cups, that we
yeah.
put
yeah.
out
in
restaurants and gas stations and stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, he did a few of those kind of runs for us. He could do that. He didn't like having to go into places and ask, but he would do that. He'd go
yeah.
collect them and bring them to Gale, probably.
Yes.
Sure. Anyway, I remember him as being a very classy person.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I mean, everything was done with class.
Yeah.
You know, he I just need to say that.
Yes.
You know, he
yeah.
was a classy
yes.
leader in our community.
That's right.
And he was unapologetic about who he was as an African heritage person also.
Mm-hmm.
Unapologetic.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's powerful, too.
Yeah.
That's
mm-hmm.
powerful, too.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure there's more you can share.
Yes.
I know you're busy as well. Are we leaving anything out that we need to be sharing about Mr. Kennedy?
One thing I really wanted to share, and that is the fact that, you know, he was a proud veteran,
mm-hmm.
and very proud
mm-hmm.
that he served this country. And often in our community, another dear friend of mine, Joe Gomer,
absolutely
received a lot of the accolades for
yes.
being in the service. And,
yes.
and
yeah.
you know, Mr. Kennedy was never one to pull away from that and point his finger at himself and say, but what about me?
Mm-hmm.
So he was a quiet servant leader. Who challenged us to do our best and do more. And I think that, you know, to understand, although he had the experience he had in the service, he loved this country.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And yep. was very proud that he served
mm-hmm.
it.
Yep.
And that's another legacy.
Absolutely.
I'm glad yeah. you said that. That's mm-hmm. very true. Because he was very proud,
yes.
but he wanted to talk about the experience and
yes.
some of the injustices, but he was very proud.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So Carl, Lynn, and Dick, I'm going to ask you if you remember this story. So I remember Mr. Kennedy called me on the phone and said, you need to get down here to the memorial.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, what's going on? Oh, you need to get down here to the memorial. They have parked a whole bunch of cars
oh, yes.
on the memorial, and you need to get down here and do something about it. So I left my office. I said, I'm gone. Mr. Kennedy says I need to do this. And I'm like, who would park their cars on this memorial?
Right.
So he stayed there until I got there, until I went in and to the business that's right next there to them, to the memorial, and said, well, you have this many minutes to move all those cars. Otherwise,
yes.
I'm obligated to move them for you.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never forget that story
mm-hmm.
because he wanted me to come and take care of it.
That's right.
Okay? And so so that, in my belief, is his respect of me
mm-hmm.
as the
yeah.
leader of the organization okay. at that time.
Mm-hmm.
You need to come and do this.
Yeah.
And so, Dick, I know you wanted to say something, too.
Well, so Perry and I, as we were not on the board any longer, doing some the emeritus stuff, we would talk probably every other week by phone, where I would hear those stories over
yes.
and over again. But he, what I want to say about that is, anytime he talked to me, he wanted to know how my wife was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
How is Ann? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And say hi to her. Mm-hmm. And he complimenting her all the time. Mm-hmm. So it was clear when you let us know that Perry was, I was kind of thinking, well, okay, I'll go down. And I said, I'm going with you.
Uh-huh.
And so she came down, and he gave her the big smile. Oh, he smiled at my T-shirt, but he was really glad to see her. And he was just that warm, mm-hmm. you know, great
he really
guy.
Was. Mm-hmm. He really was. Yeah, so we're, again, another giant is gone.
Yeah, I missed that opportunity to see him in his last days. And although I take those along with me, he left me with a ton of life memories.
Yes.
And I think if there's young listeners listening to your show, it's to take the time to tell the folks you love them today. Mm-hmm. Don't wait. And he was just an amazing man, and an honor that I had a chance to meet him for the time he was here. And we all have impact.
Yes.
And we all have the opportunity to choose to use that impact for good or not for good.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a choice to make.
We have a choice to make. That's right.
Do you remember him saying, we all came into this world the same. We're all going to leave this world the same. It's that little bit of time in between that you can let your foolishness get the best of you. So I've been thinking about that all
That's powerful. That's got a lot of power to it.
Yes, it does.
Because it's absolutely correct. Dick, you're smiling, and what does that mean to you when you hear Lynn just say that about Mr. Kennedy and those words that he had?
He was so full of wisdom.
Yes.
And you had to hang in with him through the stories, but he learned so much, and he could share it with you. It was wonderful. I think I had 19 years of my life with him, because I think it was back in 2000 that he and I met. And what a blessing for me to. It just to be able to, as we talk about some of these things, it's like, oh yeah, that was him. So it's been very nice. It's
thank
wonderful.
Thank you.
The work he did with kids, going to the elementary schools and to the middle schools and talking about not only the Clayton Jackson McGee Memorial, but also about his life. So there's many people he touched. A lot of people in our community.
He sure did.
That had, you know, an opportunity to hear his story and more or less to learn from his compassion for others. And there's a lot of folks out here that met him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Honoring a true giant of a man. I really thank you all for coming in and talking about the legend that is Perry E. Kennedy. We won't forget him.
No.
And so this is an opportunity for us at People of Color to share Mr. Kennedy with those who have never met him so they can feel as though he's had an impact on their lives also.
Yeah.
Because I think by telling the stories, you've done just that.
Yeah.
You've done just that. So well, Carl Crawford, Lynn Gert, and Dick Dolezal, thank you all for coming in and sharing these awesome memories. Very touching, and I appreciate you all. Again, I know you're quite busy, but I don't want to remiss if there's anything else you want to share before I close the show today. Please do that now.
Well, I want to thank you for
thank
putting
you.
This out and the way you've kept us informed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sure.
As you know, Lynn and I ran into each other about a month ago, and we both prized Perry. And so we were saying, have you talked to him? You know, and I said, I'm really kind of afraid to call him. I'm worried that he's dead or whatever.
Yeah, right on.
Yes. You know, and you would keep us informed. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciate that.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Also, by doing this, this is an opportunity to know some things about him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So thank you.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And thank you for your show. You're reaching listeners all across Wisconsin and sharing the story. So Mr. Kennedy lives on.
Yes, he does.
Thank you, Henry.
All right. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
You're listening to People of Color on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We'll be right back.
When you're down, in trouble. You need some love and care. Ain't nothing. Ain't nothing going right. Close your eyes and meditate on him.
Yeah.
Coming up next week on People of Color, Native Heritage artist Jonathan Thunder joins me to talk about his life story and his incredible artwork.